In every age, it has been the tyrant, the oppressor, and the exploiter who has wrapped himself in the cloak of patriotism or religion or both to deceive and overawe the people. And this week's opening quote comes from Eugene Debs. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, always the most difficult times for me to bring you radio shows and to come onto the air and talk to people is when there are atrocities and massacres happening in the Gaza Strip, such as we've seen in the last week. It really has been a most upsetting week for me. I found myself getting very frustrated and extremely angry at the actions of various governments around the world, most certainly the actions of Donald Trump in moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And the unconscionable notion of doing this on the day that he did it, which was on the eve of al-Nakba, Nakba being the day of the great tragedy of Palestine when 700,000 Palestinians were expelled from their homes in 1948 and given 20 minutes to leave or suffer death by the heavily armed and quite brutal Jewish settlers that had just arrived. It's a great day of tragedy for the Palestinian people, and for Donald Trump to announce the moving of the embassy and open the new embassy on the Nakba was really a form of psychological terrorism that was carried out against the Palestinian people on that day. He basically took the most tragic day in their history and he drove a knife into their hearts and said, well, here's another one. We don't care about you at all. You may as well just curl up and die. That was kind of the message that he sent to Palestinian people on that day, and it was truly one of the most calculated and cruelest acts I've ever seen a president carry out without it being an act of violence in itself, although maybe that can't be said that way because of the incredible violence that was rampant on the border at the time. There were quite literally dozens of Palestinians being slaughtered while Donald Trump's daughter Ivanka opened the embassy with a huge smile on her face, and Donald Trump congratulated them on what a great day it was for Israel. While he was saying that, on the border, the death toll is enormous and the injuries are almost as bad as what we saw in the 2014 aggression by Israel. And it really was quite a shocking thing to see, so I just wanted to put that out there and send my heart and condolences out to the people of Palestine, who I'm sure at this stage feel that they have simply been forgotten about by the world and have been left to be butchered by the rogue forces of Israel. And these are people, average age of 17, folks, who simply can't understand why they've been kept in prison. And you've got to understand the situation in Gaza. Here's a population of 1.8 million people who have been kept in a state of collective punishment for 10 years simply because 25% of them voted for Hamas, a government that was put in place for them to vote for by Israel. And as soon as they voted for that government, it was declared a terrorist organization, and Israel used it as an excuse to put Gaza Strip under siege and use them for target practice ever since. And it truly is a shocking state of affairs and one of the greatest moral dilemmas the human race faces today. And I don't intend to dwell on this too long, folks, but just to put it into some sort of perspective, the concept that the world has of Palestinians being terrorists, this is a tag that the Palestinians have acquired very, very unwarrantedly, and it's a tag that they've never been able to shake ever since 1948, and this tag stems from the fact that during the Jewish migration to Palestine in 1948, five Jewish ships carrying refugees from Europe were bombed during the transfer operation, and this bombing was blamed on a group named the Defenders of Arab Palestine. And note the subtle neurolinguistic programming there, folks. Not the defenders of Palestine, but the defenders of Arab Palestine. This, of course, raised the blood of the world and served to bring about unanimous support for the Jews that were migrating to Palestine and to label the Palestinians as terrorists. But it later became known to everybody that this operation, these five ships that were actually bombed by British intelligence in an operation called Operation Embarrass, precisely to raise sympathy for the Jewish settlers and to garner world support for the ethnic cleansing program that was about to be launched against the innocent people of Palestine, and it has been ongoing ever since. It also served to lay the psychological framework for Israel to later be able to declare there are no Palestinians, they are simply Arabs. So again, my condolences to the people of Palestine and most certainly to my friends in the Gaza Strip. But the world is changing very rapidly now, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. There are so many wheels in motion and there is so much going on beneath the surface that people really aren't seeing. And I'm not just referring to the smart system and the smart grid and all the stuff they're throwing out there, but so many other mechanisms that are in play to control us and to lead us into the direction that we're going. And there is quite literally so much theatrics going on at the moment that people simply aren't noticing what's happening around them. It's like so many people have simply lost their focus. So many news presenters anyway, so many researchers, so much of the truth movement. There's a real mishmash and a real surge of division happening in the truth movement at the moment as well. You've seen how many people have gone into damage control over the chemtrail lung video. There's a few channels out there that are actually going as hard as they can attempting to discredit the doctor who is exposing the chemtrails. And this is, of course, rather than exposing the chemtrails, folks. This is damage control for whistleblowers. And I think they've probably done their job by now and done a pretty good job of discouraging any other doctors who may have considered speaking out. So these channels were unfortunately quite successful in distracting people and sweeping the chemtrail debate under the carpet before it came into full public view, which was a little bit unfortunate, but hopefully it won't discourage everyone and we will see more doctors speaking out about that issue because it is an incredibly important issue. But it's been interesting to see that happen, and that of course is the way it always happens. And you know, really when you look at it, folks, it was quite a significant thing to see for a doctor to be speaking out about this, and so it's not surprising to have seen the internet immediately launch into damage control to silence any others who may have had similar ideas. And that's just the way it works, folks. That's classic COINTEL, and you usually see it when someone releases something significant. But so much of the independent media seem to have dropped the ball on this and on so many other issues. I mean, there's still a lot of people that are covering good things. There is still good voices out there, but so many voices that once seemed dependable seem to have really dropped the ball as far as the overall world situation goes. And this is, of course, as I said, due to the incredible amount of theatrics that is happening in the world today. And it's kind of got me amazed how people just continue to buy into Trump's theatre. It really has. You know, so much of the independent media is still swinging on the Trump bandwagon. With everything that he does, they still think that Q's on the money and Trump's going to save things and it's all going to be roses come November. And it really does surprise me to see just how much he's able to get away with due to this attitude that people have. You know, I think people just can't see the bigger picture. They can't really see how humankind has been played. You know, sometimes I really step back and I look at all this and I think that if people ever really truly understood the depths of control that they are under, and honestly the closest thing I can even think of to describe our real situation is something like Plato's allegory of the cave. And sometimes I think that if people really truly looked and saw it and truly understood the depth of it, you know, they may just implode altogether, but certainly they would never be putting their faith in someone like Trump or any political figure to change things, because the change is only ever going to come from the people. It's only going to come from the people once they realize that absolutely nothing is what it seems. And in regard to our immediate predicament, you know, the agenda here, what we're really facing is depopulation and ultimate control of everything. It's being run by a worldwide conglomerate of people who know exactly what they're doing. And it's been an ongoing plan for many, many years. I mean, I've done whole shows on what they've done with plastics and all the stuff that they've put into our society. I've done whole shows on what has happened to the family unit since the invention of television, how it replaced the parents and so many things that have been done to us, folks. And until people can really see this for what it is and look at the big picture for what it is. And most importantly, people, you know, have to look at government for what it is. And they seriously need to realize that all these authorities are fiction. All governments are different managerial services for corralling different sections of people. That's all these countries and borders are, all this stuff that they have got going here, folks. You know, the situation the human race is in is such a complicated one, and it's been brought about by so many methods over such a long period of time and comes from so many directions that, as I said, folks, there's no way the actions of any politician are going to fix anything. Not if they continue to simply act within the parameters provided for them by the political system anyway. Not unless they use the chair to stand up and immediately shout the truth, irrespective of the consequences. Then nothing's going to change, and I honestly can't see that happening. And if it doesn't happen, then the only way we're ever going to heal this situation is for people to wake up to themselves. But even saying that, you know, like, what do you expect them to wake up to? And even when they do wake up to the fact that there is a control grid and that everything is not what it seems, they still don't know what to do about it. They still look to the system. They still believe they need a system. They don't understand the power of themselves. And it's so understandable why people feel this way, because of what's been done to them. You know, as I said, the control comes from so many angles, and it's almost like gaslighting that's been done to us. I mean, everything about this system is designed to make us feel inadequate, to make us feel like we're not worthy. It's done to limit our lifespan. You know, they do everything in a two-pronged way. They pretend they're making you healthy, but they do stuff to make you sick. You know, with the fluoride in the water, they pretended they're putting fluoride in the water to make your teeth strong, but really the fluoride dumbs you down and it makes you sick in so many other ways. It actually gives you dental fluorosis on your teeth as well. And they'll do that under the guise of protecting your teeth. They'll have a war on drugs while they flood the street with drugs because they like the environment that it sets up for them to do that. You know, with drugs on the street and a war on drugs, they can both have crime on the street and have the police state. They can create a gang mentality in people, which immediately lowers the value of human life, devalues life, makes people expendable, makes people expect to be expendable. And so this desensitizes people, you know, reintroduces the law of the jungle onto city streets. And it creates a dangerous environment for people on the streets. So it creates a need for government again. It's a two-pronged approach, and they control both sides every time. And everything they bring to you that is good for you, if they're promoting it as being good for you, there's something around the corner that's bad for you, which is why they're doing it, or what they're promoting for you as being good for you is actually bad for you in itself. I mean, vaccines are a perfect example of this. Vaccines completely compromise your immune system and open you up to all sorts of sickness, so they can have this whole big pharma system, which they can sell to you pretending it makes you well, but even that continues to make you sick. Makes you sterile, does all sorts of things to limit human potential and to limit human population growth. You had Bill Gates himself doing a speech saying with the right amount of vaccines, they can limit human growth by X percent. I mean, they come right out and tell you what they want to do, folks. And it becomes very obvious when you look at it all that whatever it is, they're always controlling both sides, and it's always exactly the opposite of what they tell you it is. And usually both sides are bad for you. Even if they're fighting a war on something, they're pushing whatever it is they're fighting anyway, and the mechanism they're using to fight whatever it is they're pushing is bad for you in itself. The whole thing is a scam, and they always control both sides of whatever it is they're doing. Even the concept of needing to exercise to stay healthy. Back in the old days, you didn't need to exercise to stay healthy. You were just normally healthy. And the only reason you have to exercise to stay healthy now is because of the food they feed you, which makes you unhealthy. So this promotes the concept that you need to get out there and do all this exercise and all this sort of stuff to compensate. And it also distracts you, takes up your time. Makes it all about physical appearance as well, and not really about health. You know, we think that if our body is trim and we look a certain way, we must be healthy, but it doesn't really take into account what we're consuming. And then they'll get you exercising, but they'll have you wearing all of these wireless gadgets to measure the degree that you're exercising, and all the wireless gadgets put all these frequencies in you that make you sick. And that's just one little side issue, folks. I mean, that's just nothing to even get obsessed about. It's just one little point. But there's so many things that are done to make us feel inadequate, to make us feel unsafe. This is why this situation is going on in Gaza, just to make us believe the world is so unstable. You know, and of course, Israel needs to present itself to the world as being there doing battle and fending off terrorists at its wall, while this whole sign over and moving of the embassy happens, so they make a big spectacle of it. And of course, why are the people there protesting at the wall? Because Hamas called them there to protest. So who does Hamas work for? The whole thing is such a setup. And it's the people of Gaza who suffer. It's the Palestinians who suffer. It's always the people who suffer. But these things are done to make us perceive the world to be this unstable place. And people simply don't realize that all these governments work together. They're all doing one big theatrical sideshow in order to steer the world into the direction that they want, which is in the direction of this lockdown and this whole smart system that's rolling out. And that's always been the plan, and they've always been working together to do it. But again, getting back to the way we're controlled and the way we're made to feel inadequate about ourselves. You know, everything the government does, folks, they put all these mechanisms in motion to make society unstable, to make people believe that they are unsafe, to make people believe that they need government. I mean, this is why they make the food unhealthy and tell you you've got to exercise, because they want you to be unhealthy, because it's good for the system if you're unhealthy. And as I said, it's also good for the system if you're busy exercising and not thinking about what the government's doing and are more concerned in physical matters and more concerned in looks and beauty and all of this stuff, which is completely superficial, which dies really quickly. It's over before you know it. And suddenly you've got wrinkles and you've got to go and get all this plastic surgery and do all this stuff to try to pretend you're a teenager for the rest of your life, because it's all about the exaltation of youth. Little things that they do, folks. They move populations around. They give you a career in one job and they offer you a promotion, but you have to move to another city. But your spouse has another job that is doing really well in this city and they have to give up their job to go with you, or you have to break up. It all discourages the building of a family. Then you have to go and get a small unit somewhere, which really doesn't encourage the having of children anyway, because you haven't really got a place to put them. It just is all very uncomfortable and very hard to raise children in any type of city situation. So again, it leads to a further breakdown of the family unit, and it serves to further discourage people from having children. Again, it's all about depopulation. And they make it really uncomfortable to get old. Old people aren't seen as being wise anymore. They're seen as being useless now because they're not part of the workforce, so they can't contribute to society, so they should just kind of move on. I mean, this is what the promotion of a generation gap was all about and the exaltation of youth was all about, because they want young people to view old people as being old and decrepit, and they want old people to feel as if they're old and decrepit. This is where they change everything everywhere, so you never really know what's going on. And of course, they can't do that if they don't move populations around, because if you're a long-term population in an area, you're not really going to allow them to change things too much. But if there's new people coming in all the time and new people going all the time, then you don't really know what it was ever like there anyway. So you just accept whatever they give you, and you're more likely to expect change. In fact, you come to expect change. This is why they change the roads around all the time, so you always lose your way in your own city and you have to remember where you're going all the time. Old people lose track of where they're going all the time, so it helps make them feel old, because everything's different to the way it was a few months ago. It also encourages people to use smartphones and GPSs and all this sort of stuff. And look at interdependence, you know, national interdependence, the way they've done this, the way they move all the industry offshore from all of our countries and get us all dependent on all other countries, so that no country can really function in a fully autonomic state. They're all dependent upon everybody else. No society can function in a fully autonomic state. Everybody is dependent upon everybody else. This is what skilled labor is all about. You go and get skill in one particular field, but you can't do anything else. You get someone who's really good at laying bricks, but he can't do any carpentry. You get a carpenter who's a really good carpenter, but he can't lay a pipe. He can't lay a brick. He can't fix a car. You get a mechanic who's a really good mechanic, but he doesn't know how to build a house. You'll get a gardener who's a really great gardener, but he doesn't know how to fix a car. You'll get a guy who knows how to weld, but doesn't know how to work with wood. You'll get a guy who knows how to weld, but doesn't know how to work with other forms of steelwork. You'll get people who are all great with all sorts of steelwork and know how to make steel, but they don't know how to make a motor or make anything out of the steel. You'll get people who know how to make a motor and they're really good mechanics and know how to build stuff out of steel, but they've got no idea how to get it out of the ground and smelt it. So everything is specialized. So nobody has any real life skills. Everyone's just good at one thing. And not only are they only good at one thing, but they're generally not allowed to study the other things, or it's very difficult for them to go and study multiple fields of things. Same thing happens in research and study. You want to study something, you want to study math, you become a maths teacher or study math, but they don't want you to look at science, they don't want you to look at religion, they don't want you to look at art, they don't want you to look at all these other things. And if you're studying art, they don't want you to look at science. they don't only look at all these other things that you might think are related, but they don't think are. And when you do study these fields, they make it so complicated that it's so difficult to actually learn what you're trying to learn because there's all this extra stuff there that you don't need. So it takes up half your life to learn one particular skill or study one particular field when you could have learned all that in a day or a week, but they stretched it out over 5 years so that you'd never actually get to learn anything. And that makes us all interdependent on everybody else. It makes all countries interdependent on all countries. It makes sure that when they lock society down and they lock the system down and lock everybody out, no one's really going to know how to do anything. Everyone's going to know how to do one thing, but no one's really going to know how to just get out there in the wild and act like a human being and take care of their life. We've lost all of that. And that's a pretty scary place to be. Think about it, folks. It's a pretty scary place to be. In the last two or three generations, we've lost all of our life skills. If we don't do something about this, this is a pretty dangerous place for a species to have allowed itself to have been led. And really, we've been led there, folks. And when you look at it, you can't tell me it hasn't been done on purpose, because it has. And when you look at it and you realize that it has been done on purpose, well, what's the next logical step? You know, and it's all about depopulation. That's what transgenderism is all about. Why do you think they want people to embrace homosexuality so much? It isn't to be tolerant. It's because they don't want you to breed. That's why they're teaching kids in 5 and 6 year old that they might want to be the other gender, because they want it all to be normalized. They don't want people breeding. If you want sex, you can go and get a sex robot. They don't want sex to be about procreation because they don't want you having children. And if you are going to have children, you can go and grow one in the ectogenesis chambers they're building. This is why they've concentrated so much on disconnecting people from their natural sexuality, why they push pornography so much and unnatural sex so much. This is why they pushed open sex so much in the beginning, because they want sex to be all about pleasure. They don't want it to be about procreation. This is why they pushed contraception so much very, very early in the game, to bring sex into the open, to make people have more sex, but to make it all about pleasure and not about procreation. And since the advent of the internet and what pornography has become on the internet and how this has been pushed onto the kids, it's become even worse and worse and worse, and the gap has gotten wider and wider and wider. Now, the kids are so sexually confused these days, they don't really know what they're doing. Every woman I speak to is desperately looking for a good man. Every man I speak to is desperately looking for a good woman. And there's always been this disconnect between the sexes, but it's just gotten wider and wider and wider, and it's all been done by design. And the reason is because they don't want you having children. And don't think it's because the world's overpopulated, because the world is not overpopulated, ladies and gentlemen. It's badly managed to look like it's overpopulated, but it isn't. If we did things more productively, more sensibly, we would be far, far better off, and we wouldn't have all of these problems that we have. As I've said so often, all the problems that we have exist because they're all legislated to exist. It's all about depopulation, folks. That's how they're going to have 500 million in the world, because this generation that's here now, the generation that's coming out now, not too many of these people are going to be having kids. I mean, they might want to, but they're just not going to be biologically able to because of all of the toxins in the environment and because of their disconnect from their natural sexuality. You know, it's like the genders have no real concept of what their real role as a human being is anymore. I mean, it might be an uncomfortable thing to admit, but the sad fact is that not too many of the young kids coming out now are going to be breeding and having children the way human beings do, the way a species perpetuates itself and procreates itself and continues itself. We're just not going to be doing that. We're going to be switching over to something else, and it isn't going to be us. You know, transhumanism isn't going to be us getting these enhancements. It's going to be post-humanism, more than transhumanism. We're not going to be transferring our consciousness into this mainframe. Well, perhaps some will. Perhaps some will be captured in there. But really what we're doing, we're creating a new life form ourselves, which is going to leave us behind simply because we're creating all the parameters for it to leave us behind. We're actually doing it ourselves. Through our laziness, through our sloth, through our greed, everything that we're doing, the 7 deadly sins, I guess, and all the others. But we're creating this system, and it's going to lock us out eventually because we're just making it that way. So really, it's our fault. And that's really the freaky part about it, you know, we're doing it to ourselves. And helping people become aware of it may help things, but even if people do become aware of it, it's doubtful people are really going to want to change anyway. I mean, there's so many people out there, you could say, listen, the world's going to end in 5 years and you're going to die. And if you give up your mobile phone now, it's all going to change and you're going to live forever. And most of them would say, nah, I'll take the 5 years with my mobile phone. That's the freaky thing. And then it'd get to be the day before when they're actually, it was all over and contracts up and, hey, you're going to die tomorrow. And they go, oh, wait a minute, really tomorrow? Can I change my mind? No, you had to do it 5 years ago. And the problem is that even when that happens, a lot of them would probably be good for it and say, well, hey, it was a good 5 years, wasn't it? Let's go party. It's a weird situation we're in, folks, and it's a weird species that we've become. It really is. You know, and it's not that there's anything wrong with technology or anything like that. It's just where we have allowed it to lead us. You know, because you've got to look at technology as well. I mean, look at what is running the technological system, and again, it's economics. You know, and when we allow an economic system to be what governs our lives, and that's all controlled by AI, you've got to really look at it and step back and see where it's going to lead. I mean, what the logical conclusion will be. And it's not going to be anything good. And the interesting thing is that we could stop it if we could just open up our hearts to each other and put down all this economic stuff, stop profiting from each other. We could still have all this technology and lead us to a good point, lead us to a great place. You know, like, that's the thing about the internet. It's a double-edged sword. Like everything that we're given, it's all a double-edged sword. You know, a few months ago, or maybe a year ago, I did a show called Giving Life to Lucifer, where I spoke about the whole internet system and what the whole Lucifer system really is, what the bearer of light is, and how this system gives us everything we need to change the world should we choose to do it. But if we don't, if we make the wrong decision and we hand everything over to it and let it control our lives, then it just leads us to this bad place where the program ends and we have to start again in whatever form that takes. Now, whether we'll even make it again, because when you look at the Earth, I mean, we've done a lot of damage to it. You know, this system may have well existed many times before, and we may have gone through this cycle many times before and destroyed ourselves many times before, but I think at the end of it, we always had resources left. We always had some form of environment left whereby we could carry on again and pick up the pieces and try the experiment again. But with what we've done to the Earth now, it's very unlikely that we're going to have any type of environment left to be able to begin the experiment again. That's the thing, you know, it's an interesting place to be. But again, the system that is enslaving us and the system that is ultimately going to be our demise if we're not careful is at the same time providing us with all the things we need, all the tools we need, all the information we need, all the unity we need, all the connectivity we need to actually be able to take it in a completely different direction if we chose to do so. Perhaps we're getting really close to the end of that now. Perhaps we're right at the turning point and right at the crossroads now. Perhaps that's why the situation in Gaza is escalating to the point that it has as well. As I've often said, Gaza does hold the key to change this. If we chose to open up our hearts to the Palestinian people, we could actually establish some real law on this earth, or at least give ourselves the opportunity to revert to natural law, see the necessity to do that anyway. I mean, it's all there in Gaza Strip if we could open up our hearts to these people. Perhaps that's what this time is, folks, but it is certainly an interesting time to be alive. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you know, so bringing you all of this information that I bring you on the shows, you know, sometimes I wonder even whether I should do it. You know, sometimes I wonder whether it's a good idea to wake people up, because the system is so out of control, you know, how much truth you want to bring to people. Sometimes people just see what's happening and they kind of freak out and it ruins their lives, and that isn't really what I want to do. You know, when I started speaking out against this system, I really wanted to see some change, and I totally believe that the human race can do it, and I still believe we can, but it's getting more difficult by the day, and you've got to wonder whether it's even worth bringing this information to people sometimes. And with that, of course, I get a lot of comments on my YouTube clips and just from people in general saying, well, if you're bringing all this information to people, why aren't you providing solutions for the problems that you're addressing? And this is something that I've done for the whole time, folks, because the solution is you. And that's the real problem that people have in dealing with the information. They see it, and they don't realize that they hold the key to changing it, because it's our compliance of all this stuff that allows it to happen, our compliance of wrong behavior. You know, if we were to stop complying with this system, it would fall apart in a day. And people say, well, that's not going to be any good, because if I stop complying, someone else will just take my place. And that is the unfortunate reality, and it's getting worse every day. But even with that, it becomes a catch-22, because you realize that the only real thing that's going to stop the system is the people, and you're only going to do that by spreading awareness. So people simply have to become aware of their surroundings. So again, it becomes this thing, you know, how can you know this information and not share it with people? Because once you really know the information and you really see the situation, you begin to realize that it is only by sharing the information with people and by people becoming aware of what is really happening that we're going to be able to change things. Because all we need to change it is public awareness. You know, if enough people knew and they simply stopped what they were doing, we changed the world in a day. And that has always been my great hope, that we would just get this groundswell of people and we would just stop and say, hey, no, we're not going to do this anymore. And we still can do that. And the issue is that in light of what we're facing, it is in fact the only thing that we can do. There's no movement. There's no groundswell. There's no petition you can form. There's nothing you can really do. There's no one you can go to battle with to change things. You simply have to stop complying with what is happening. Now, the system is held up completely by the people's belief that authority is real and that the system is real. I mean, completely. That's it. You want to know what the foundation is? That's it. It's us. You know, that's what I've always attempted to point out to people. And, you know, when I first started doing this back 10 years ago, there was a real chance that we could have created a mass wave of non-compliance. But as we get closer and closer towards the end game, towards the lockdown, it gets more and more difficult for this to happen. And a lot of the reason it gets more difficult is because of the amount of theatre that's happening in the world as well. That's why they create all the theatres, because they want you distracted all the time. They keep you distracted with every single thing they can do. That's why there's all this stuff going on in the Middle East. That's a lot of what Gaza is about as well. That's certainly what the posturing with North Korea was about. And have you seen Trump rubbing shoulders with China now and trying to buddy-buddy up with the Chinese? And why do you think that is, ladies and gentlemen? It's because this One Belt, One Road agreement is coming online, and Trump has just alienated America from the rest of the world, and he's further alienated America from the rest of the world by what he's just done with the embassy as well. So he's pulling America away from this entire Chinese trade agreement. So, of course, they've got to go and make the arrangements with the Chinese, because America is soon going to lose its place as the reserve currency, and China will take over world trade, and the Chinese currency will become the new world reserve currency. You know, when this will happen, well, it's anybody's guess. It could happen this year. It could happen as early as October. It could even happen in June. Who knows? I doubt it. But it could happen in October, November, or they might draw it out a little bit longer. But this is what the plan is, and this is what the plan has always been. The new Chinese currency will very likely be a cryptocurrency as well. And I put out a show a few months ago called The Controlled Demolition of America, where I talked about this, and you've seen all of the dominoes line up, and they're being pushed over now. And this is, of course, why Trump's over there talking to China. The media's playing it all up. The media's playing a great theatrical show with all of this, folks. The mainstream media is pretending to be Trump's enemy at the moment, but they're not. I mean, it's all leading in the same direction. All the mainstream media is doing is providing fuel for the truth movement to make them think that they're on the right track. And Trump's just there leading the whole show along to exactly where it's been going the whole time. Trump is just continuing Obama's policies, and Obama just continued Bush's policies. Bush continued Clinton's policies. Clinton continued Bush's policies. I mean, it's the same thing over and over again, folks. You may have a little bit of a different face. There may be a few things that changed. That's the TPP and a few things changed. But the TPP doesn't matter anyway, folks. Not in the new smart system, it doesn't. Now, once it all goes over to One Belt, One Road, and it all goes smart, it all goes digital, it doesn't matter about things such as the TPP. These were just ideas that they had of how to do things, but they don't even need that. They don't need to merge it into these different blocks like an Asia-Pacific block and an American block and a European Union and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't even matter to them if the European Union falls apart now, because once it all goes smart, it'll be one world union, and that's what they've always wanted. And they don't even need these countries and these trade agreements and all these franchises and all this stuff to do it. All they need is the smart grid and to keep people distracted long enough for them to roll it out, because it's rolling out in every single country that you can think of. They're all working together, folks. It's all one big puppet show, and it's all leading towards the same direction in every single country on Earth. And ask yourself why that's happening if this isn't all one big criminal cabal all working for the same agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Because the truth of the matter is, that's exactly what it is. There's a lot more cooperation between East and West and left and right and up and down than people would ever care to imagine. The problem is people just don't realize this, and even many of the politicians that work within the system don't realize it either. You know, many politicians join the system because they really do care. They genuinely want to make a difference and they believe the system works. I mean, certainly not all. There are many who just join politics because it is a viable career choice for the ultra corrupt, but there are still others. There are some who actually do join because they want to make a difference. And they think that's the way you can do it. They think that if they go in there and they follow by all these rules, then they can make things happen. You know, I don't understand that the corruption is systemic and that the guiding hand exists from beyond the system. It's the same with so many mechanisms that are in place, folks. It's like Hollywood. Hollywood is a terribly controlling mechanism for mankind. It controls the mindset of just about most of the world. But not everybody who works in Hollywood is part of the corruption. Many people go in there because they think it's a genuine industry. They want to be famous. They want to sell their songs or be an actor or whatever. So they go and enter into that system. And then if the system sees them as something that it can use and it can manipulate into performing the tasks it wants that person to perform, then it will grab that person and nurture them and turn them into a star, and then it will guide their career for them and make them into what the system wants them to be. The way they've done with so many people, the way they do with all the Mouseketeer girls, the way they do with people like Britney Spears, whatever. And this would have been a little girl that entered into the system because she had talent and wanted to be a singer and wanted to be like the girl she saw on TV, gets in there and gets turned into this Illuminati puppet without having any real control over the situation. You know, any TV show you might create and submit as an artist, the way an artist would submit their art for anything, if the system likes it, they will get it, and then they will mold that show into what they want it to. So you're delivering their message when you started off delivering your own. That's the way they do it, folks. They find the talent. They create these talent pools, and they bring people in, and then they find the talent they want that they can use, and they manipulate them. But that doesn't mean that everybody that works within the system is corrupt. It is the system that is corrupt by default through systemic corruption. So when people enter into the system, they become corrupted simply because they're working within corrupt parameters. But that does not mean they are bad people, because even using the term corrupted, I mean, corrupted doesn't necessarily mean bad. Corrupted means dysfunctional. When you have a corrupted file on your computer, you don't think it's a bad file. It's just a dysfunctional file. It's something that doesn't work properly anymore, something that's doing a task that you didn't want it to do. And that's what the system is, and that's what it does. That's why there's no point voting for politicians, and there's no real point entering into that system, attempting to make too many real changes from within. I mean, all you can really do is get in there and gum up the works a little bit, but you're not ever going to be able to make any real changes, because you're going to be forced to operate within those parameters, and the entire system is corrupt systemically. So the parameters you're operating under are corrupted parameters anyway, so you're never really going to get anything done. That's why it's got to come back to the people. That's why the people have to realize that we are the ones who hold the whole thing up, and we are the ones who can bring about change simply by remembering who and what we are. But again, the disconnect is so deep. You know, it isn't just a matter of people realizing authority is a fiction. There's so much more to it. You know, there's so much more to this reality that we just don't understand. And as I said, if people really ever saw the level of control that they are under and really, really understood the big picture completely, many of them would simply implode. It would just be too much for them. And that's a difficult situation. It makes it difficult to be able to bring this information to people, but there are still methods we can try to at least bring a little bit of confidence back to people, bring a little bit of self-confidence back to them, empower them a little bit and help them feel like they actually can make a difference. And this is what the smart grid and the 5G system is providing for us as well, because the 5G system, the health impacts of the 5G system, is going a long way to motivating people into action, and that's a good thing. And it may seem completely unrelated to all of the conspiratorial stuff that's going on. I mean, there's so much wrong with the system. There's so much, as I said, systemic corruption. But just getting that motivation in people, that belief that they can actually stand up for themselves, the 5G system is working with that respect, because people are looking at the health issues and many of them are standing up and they are actually making a difference. And that's inspiring them to actually try other things and to feel confident about themselves in other ways and to speak out about other issues as well. And that's a good thing. You've got to start somewhere, crack that shell to just give people that confidence to stand up and say something. And that's what we've got with 5G. It's a real crisis that we're under with this, but that crisis is providing us a real opportunity as well. And so that's been a focus of mine for a while, and that's what I've been recommending that people do. So many people write to me and ask me, you know, what can we do about this system? What can I do to make a difference? And I've been saying, well, alert your family and friends to the health damages of 5G and make a stand against it, because that will inspire them to make a stand against other things. And it is working, ladies and gentlemen. There are huge movements against this rollout happening all around the world, and that's a good starting point. You know, as I've said so many times, there are so many issues to deal with, and there's such a vast conspiracy that we're under, and it really does become too much for people. So you've got to start small and just find that little thing that is going to inspire them, give them the confidence to stand up and at least say something. And that's what 5G is doing. So if you can focus on that and just kind of stick to that and allow them to get the rest of the information at their own speed, then you might actually find that you're getting somewhere. You know, it's a difficult life, the life of an activist. It's a sad and lonely existence sometimes. You know, when you can see the world for what it is and you can see how easy it would be to change it, it can become incredibly frustrating that the people around you don't see it. And even that they attack you so much for even wanting to bring the information to you. That's one of the great sorrows of doing this work, is the amount of attacks and trolling that you get from people. Because when you really begin to do this work, this great work, whatever it is that we do, this work to help mankind regain control of themselves, regain their consciousness, it becomes a work that is a life work. It isn't a work that you do because you want fame or fortune or anything like that. It certainly doesn't come with anything of this. I mean, you don't get any of that doing what I do. As I said, it's a very lonely and sometimes a very sad existence. But the motivation for doing it really is love for people. I mean, that's why I do this. I do it because I want my people to be free. I can see the system for what it is. I can see where we're going, and I want my people to be free again, the way we once were, back in the cloud of forgotten consciousness that exists somewhere in the sub-memory that we have. I can feel it. I can feel the world that we once lived in. And it was not a world like this at all. And I want my people to be free. And when I say my people, I mean all of Earth's people. I mean all of mankind. I don't differentiate between race or skin color or creed or anything like that. The Earth's people, mankind, are my people. And that's why I do what I do. And that is my motivation for everything. And in everything that I do and everything I've brought you on all the radio shows all these years, it's all been designed to help people see the beauty and the value in themselves, because that is what we've lost. And that is the whole control grid, this loss of value, this belief that we have no value, this belief that we must do what we're told, this belief that this whole system is real. But like I said, the control is so deep, the matrix is so thick, the reality that we live in is so illusional to such a degree that you really have to wonder whether people are ready to see the truth, because the truth is so vastly different from what they believe reality is, and it's such a shock for people. You know, as I've said so often, enlightenment is a destructive process. It's a breaking down of everything you believe to be true. And enlightenment and knowledge of reality is hugely confrontational to most people. And that is the real problem, because until people are prepared to think completely outside the box, we're never really going to find the solution, because the solution is the people. That's why it's so difficult for people asking you to present solutions. You know, what's your plan? They want something written down on paper. They want to see us march into a new system. It's not about that. It's about remembering who and what you are. Now, things are so, so different to what we believe. And even history, as I presented a couple of shows ago, is so vastly different to what we believe. There's so much weirdness going on, folks. You ever look at the work of Leonardo da Vinci, the paintings that Leonardo da Vinci did? How did he do that? That's supposed to be done 500 years ago. How did he do that? You know, it's not possible to paint the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci simply because of the type of paint that's used and the thickness of the paint and the medium that it was painted on. We can't paint the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci today. No one can duplicate that. We can't even do that with lasers. We can't do anything close to what Leonardo da Vinci did with modern technology. And that was apparently done 400 or 500 years ago. So how did that happen? What world did we have then? What are all those scenes that were depicted in those paintings, those scenes of people living in paradise 400 or 500 years ago? And how are those paintings ever created? Interesting questions like that, folks. History is very, very different to what we think it is. And we lived in a very, very different world not too long ago. Quite possibly just a few hundred years ago, which is a very, very short time in history. You know, nothing is what we're being told. But as I said, the rabbit hole goes so deep. And once you go down this rabbit hole and you really begin to look at things, the findings are so shocking for most people that they simply don't want to go there. They go into cognitive dissonance, and so they close the book and just go back to work. That's why it's dangerous bringing too much conspiratorial information to people at this time, because we're in a state of clear and present danger. We've got to find something to crack the shell. That's why I've been focusing on 5G, because of the health aspects, and that's something that does actually wake people up, and then they're prepared to look a little deeper. But, you know, the rabbit hole goes incredibly deep, folks. And I've often considered coming on and just doing a show and just talking about what I would suggest is actually going on. But even doing that, I think it's dangerous to put my opinion out there of what may be happening, because how do I know if I'm right? And if I start saying, well, this is, then I start shaping other people's opinion and it helps them close their minds, because I'm stating a positive on things. That's why I like to put stuff out there and say, well, look, this is simply my perspective, and hopefully get enough information in these radio shows to just start the wheels turning in people's heads and get them to ask the questions for themselves, because I think real truth needs to be realized. Real truth can never be told. People need to discover things for themselves. So it's just motivating people into thinking is what I'm attempting to do with these shows. But ultimately, folks, as I said, the reason I do all this is because I want my people to be free. And that is a difficult thing to want to bring about and to even attempt to bring about, because, as I said, the matrix is so thick and so illusional, and reality is so vastly different to what people think it is, that it's just a really confrontational thing for most people to even want to look. And therein lies the problem. You know, people are very often scared of any type of confrontation. This is, again, the result of programming, result of the world that we're in. They really don't want to have to look around them. They much prefer to live in a world of instant gratification, because that's what they've been trained to do. And it's a great shame, but that's the unfortunate reality that we're in. I mean, we're in a world where people measure each moment by the amount of pleasure they get from that moment. And so when you start bringing them uncomfortable information and they begin to realize that reality is not what they thought it was, it becomes very, very confrontational, and they can sometimes have some type of a mental implosion. It's almost like Neo coming out of the machine and realizing that the world was not what he thought it was. It's very much like that, folks, and that's the unfortunate reality of what we're facing. But hey, if we persevere, I still think we can find a way through it. You know, one of the most difficult things for people seems to be maintaining their confidence levels. And really, you know, when you look at it, folks, we're up against a pretty big machine. So how confident were you any time? I mean, how confident was I any time? I have a great faith in the human spirit, and I believe that whatever happens, we will get through it. I don't know whether we will ever change the world into what we want it to be, But I believe that our spirit will endure and we will get through whatever it is that's coming and we will come out the other side okay. I just like to help try to maintain some sort of sanity through that process and maintain some sort of environment and have the confidence in ourselves and the knowledge of ourselves to be able to come through it properly so that when we do come through the other side, we're not just lost in this state of fear. You know, people have regained something of themselves. And I think that everything that we were and everything that we are still exists in our memory. It still exists in our blood. It exists in our genetic code. It exists in the very essence of who and what we are. It's what we're made of, so we can't ever lose this, no matter how hidden it becomes. The problem is that it's been hidden so well, and people have been so programmed into this illusional reality of what they think is possible, which is all focused around their left brain, that they simply can't see outside the box, and that's the difficult thing. But it's still all there. All of that information is still there, and I think it will come to surface eventually, and it will come to the surface in most people's minds, maybe not all, but it will come to surface in enough minds for us to be able to make a change. I mean, whatever it's going to be, whatever the world's going to look like when we get through this period, I think we will endure and our spirit will endure, and whatever mankind looks like at that time and whatever state we're in, we will eventually get back to what we once were. I think that's what all this is about. Perhaps this is simply weeding out the gene pool that we don't need. Perhaps this is what evolution looks like. Evolution has always been a painful process. Change has always been a painful process. And when I say evolution, I'm not talking about Darwinian evolution. I'm simply talking about change, because change is most certainly coming. It's just up to us as to what that change is going to be. The important thing is to realize that it's us who is making the decision, and to make sure that we are the ones making the decision and not those people who are controlling things at the moment. Because that's the unfortunate reality, folks, is no matter how much we think we are in control of our lives, at this present time, we're simply not, and it's about time we put ourselves in the driver's seat. But folks, we're getting really close to the end of the show again. It seems to have come around quite quickly this week. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to bring you a show next week. I'm not sure whether I'm going to be able to. I'm speaking in Virginia Beach next weekend at a chemtrail conference on the 26th of May. Please do come along to that if you're anywhere in the area. If I can get a show recorded early in the week to get out to you, then I will. That would depend on whether I get time to record one. I'm kind of in a tricky situation at the moment, folks. I'm in LA. I'm sleeping on someone's couch near the middle of Hollywood, which is kind of weird, right in the thick of the beast system. You might have heard a bit of motor noise and a few planes flying overhead during the show today. But it's not an ideal situation for recording radio shows, but I'll see what I can do. I might be able to get one done, and if I can get it to my friend in Australia to edit the video for me, I'm just putting that message out there in case you're listening, which I'm sure you are, and then I will get you a show next week. Otherwise, it will be the week after I've done the conference in Virginia Beach. And after that conference on the 26th of May, I'm speaking at Regeneration in San Diego on June 2nd, and that will be the last talk that I'm doing for this year, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not really sure what my plans are after June. I've got a few options open, but I'm not sure whether I'm going to head back to Peru or whether I'm going to go home or what I'm going to do. I'm feeling very, very exhausted from travel at the moment, so I really do need some time off. That's probably why I sound a little slow and dazed on the show today, because I'm just running out of energy, folks. So I've got to go somewhere and find a place to decompress, and I'll just have to figure out where that is. There's a chance I might be going to do Cambo workshops in Hawaii, but I've got emails here I've got to answer. I've got such a backlog of work to catch up on, but I might be able to give you more information about all of that on the next radio show. Thank you to all my supporters. Thank you to all those people who contribute to my Patreon account. Thank you to all the supporters on Steemit and all the commenters on YouTube and all of the wonderful emails that people send me. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you people. It's your positive input and your support that keeps me going. Nothing else does. I tell you that right now, folks. The energy that I get comes from you guys. So please do accept my thanks for all of that. You have been wonderful. And together, I think we have made some kind of a difference, and we will continue to do it. And I'm not going anywhere. I'll keep doing this till the wheels fall off. But sometimes I just need to have a few breaks, because I'm getting a little bit old and the energy levels are getting down. But that is it for me now, folks. I've reached the end of the show, so I will look forward to speaking to you either next week or the week after, and I'll look forward to speaking to all those people who come to the Chemtrail Conference in Virginia Beach and those who come to Regeneration, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again as soon as I'm able. Please take very good care until then. In La Cache.